This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Frankly, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Hour number two of the Diehards. Anthony Pepe, Jeff Dawson, East Coast Sports Investors. Charles in charge in Houston. We do not have a problem, unless you're a Washington Huskies fan. Charles Carter. National championship game going on at NRG Stadium. Michigan Wolverines up 17-3 and have the ball. And Washington Huskies on a big third and eight need to get a stop to get the ball back. And they did defer getting the coin toss and getting the ball in the second half. But they do need a stop. Michigan looks like they're going to try to run the ball down their throat. Got a big run there. Again, the Mannings have the Manning cast with the die cast tonight. We're just talking about the game, and it's what we do, Jeff. I believe Michigan should go for it here.
They are. Just like Washington.
Fourth and a couple.
On that fourth and 17, got a 12-yard completion or a 10-yard. I think that was setting up, and it looks like he's going for the field goal, right?
All right. Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Let's hop to the Progressive Insurance guest line for a job you'll love. Visit Progressive.com/careers. Diehards hockey guru, Boston College, Learfield Boston College. The great Andy Powers. They punting?
They're punting.
I love it. Andy Powers, how are you, buddy?
I'm living the dream, Anthony.
Hey,
how are you boys doing?
We're doing great, man. The national championship is going on right now. And I'm just curious, how much pressure are on these young kids? I mean, we do hockey, and we'll talk about the Boston College hockey team, and they just, a lot of the kids, 7-1 gold at the World Juniors, and you're talking about young kids. How much pressure is on these kids? I mean, you played for a national championship back in what, 1972?
Just a few years after Fred Flintstone left the quarry. I have a different approach, Anthony, than most people. When people are like, oh, this must, and my mom and, you know, my wife now, I'm watching my kids play, you know, high level hockey, and they're like, I just get so nervous. When you're a player, I don't care if you're playing bowling or football or hockey, when that whistle blows, everything else goes out the window. You put pressure on tires. You don't put pressure on me. Right?
But seriously, Andy, what you played in the national championship at Boston College hockey? Where was the game, and who'd you play against?
It was the Michigan Wolverines. That's why I hate Michigan. Although I am rooting for them tonight because
right.
I like the backstory of Harbaugh and you know the cheating scandal, and you know they tried to throw Michigan off the scent by suspending Harbaugh. They fought through. I like the way that they play. So I do hate Michigan. But I think I'd like to see them win tonight. But I played the national championship for Boston College in 1998 against Michigan in Boston, sold out Garden, and it was on ESPN. You know, it was terrific. It was a great experience for me. You know, I love the limelight. I love the spotlight. I love games like that. I think.
But but going back to that, Andy, and again, you're a different, unique breed. You didn't feel the pressure?
No.
Why?
What do you mean? I'm too stupid to feel pressure. What are you talking about?
Do you feel like your teammates felt a little different prior to the game in the locker room, getting ready, taping their sticks, doing all the stuff they do? Did you feel like your teammates maybe like, oh my God, we're playing for the national freaking championship?
Yes.
Like it doesn't get any bigger than this.
There were guys that were impacted by it. You know, specifically there was a teammate that, you know, kind of, it was a tie game. We ended up losing in overtime.
Ugh.
And it was a tie game. And in the third period, he just refused to go back out there. He's like, I'm not going out there.
And the answer is yes. Some of these kids realize the pressure and they sometimes cave.
Normal people, yeah.
What about these kids in this national championship game? I mean, they've worked their whole lives, Andy.
Yeah.
They're playing in Houston on a stage where you got a 14-0 team against a 14-0 team. Everybody's watching, millions and millions of people. How do you think these 18, 19-year-old kids are reacting right now?
Well, I think that nerves do play a part of it for the normal people. And I think that, you know, I think Michigan's built for this, right? Michigan, every game they play, is like this, whether it's Michigan State, whether it's Wisconsin, whether it's Ohio State. You know, yep. Washington, probably they're a little bit in the deep end. You know, they're not really used to this limelight, but I think Michigan is prepared for it. And I think that if you play at a high level, like, these are the games you want to play in. You should want to play in this game, right? That's why it's kind of, I make light of it, but I think that's an outlier for the kids that you know, they get so nervous that they can't play. Like, this is why you're here.
Yeah.
And I think they're two great teams, to be honest with you. I mean, Jeff knows the betting. I don't bet, but I would have bet against Washington when they played Oregon. I would have bet against them in the first round of the BCS, but they just keep winning. So I don't know.
Hey, if you're going to play like that, I know a guy.
You're right.
Andy, it's Jeff Dawson. How are you this evening?
Oh, Jeff, I'm doing terrific. Thanks for asking.
Hey, well, I spent a whole afternoon in Stoughton, and I made it to Canton, so you'll be proud of me today.
Yeah, zigzag, Jeff. You know the rules. Zigzag. You don't want to get picked off.
Stop.
You're talking about national championships, big stages, and there's only one winner, whether we're talking March Madness when there's like 68 teams, and eventually the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four. And then
there's only 16 in college hockey.
There's 16 in college hockey, and now these two are the last standard. We talk about the glory of winning. Take us to the other side. You know, you got to the stage in that plateau. You're right there, and then coming off that loss.
Yeah, I think that's. I appreciate you bringing it up, but it is a hollow, empty, you know, bottomless feeling when you get so close. And, you know, I always say, and this is why I don't gamble, Jeff, because I'm such a terrible loser. Like, I hate losing. I hate it more than anything in this world. If I go to a casino and I lose money at the casino, you better believe that I'm going to try and take the iron. I'm going to take the towel. Anything that's not nailed down in my room is coming with me. Right? Because I can't stand to lose. But to your point, right, it, to win it, it's unbelievably high. But to lose it is unbelievably low. And I know that when we lost the national championship to Michigan in overtime, right? And, you know, I always use my mother as an analogy. Like, my mother's like, oh, that was fun, wasn't it? And I'm like, what the hell? Like, no, that wasn't fun at all. She's like, but you were so close. No, that's exactly why it wasn't fun. Like, we were so close, we could have done it. Now, when that happens to you, when you have that pit, that emptiness, just that, like, that just nothing. Like, I got nothing. I got nothing out of this. We did everything, and we got nothing out of this. There is a little thing that burns inside you, like, oh, this won't happen again. Like, this, if we get back here, it won't happen again. And I think, you know, that's, you know, Michigan football, they've had terrible postseasons. So I think that, you know, right now, that the way that they played in the first round and the way that they're playing tonight, like, I think that's what you see out of Michigan. Like, they're not going to let this one slip away.
Andy, we talk about how great college football is and how unbelievable marketing and what they do, and the four playoff teams this season, they're going to 12 next season, whether or not you like it or not. Everybody's talking about it, who should get in, who should get out. They're the elite of program, and it's football, so it is different, but they're the elite of the elite of what they do and how they operate their playoff system. College hockey, the Frozen Four, is exciting. It's fun. We know BC is going to get there. We know BC is going to win it. They haven't sized my ring yet, which I'm a little disappointed. But at the end of the day, what can college hockey learn from college football on how they run their playoff format?
I think that, you know, obviously the TV rights are a big deal, right? If you look at ABC, ESPN, they're all the same animal. I think college hockey is getting to that point. College hockey is on ESPN. They do a great job with the postseason on ESPN. I think for me, I'd still like to see the regional stuff be more college-based, you know, like a regional team hosting. So then you'd have a better environment if that regional team wins and goes to the regional final. You know, Anthony, you and I joke, college hockey, and I if anybody's listening can tell me where they play regional college hockey sites, I'll give you a liquor-infused cigar, because they play in, like, Allentown, Pennsylvania, and, like, just these kind of odd, off-the-beaten-path locations, and you don't get great attendance, right? And so for me, like, you talk about playing in big games like this, one of the things that makes the big games, it's not the television, it's not the pomp and circumstance, it's the in-game crowd.
Sure.
Right? And I think that hockey, certainly, Jeff, you mentioned March Madness. Like, even those regional games, the entry-level games, even the play-in games in Dayton, like, that's an unbelievable crowd. Hockey doesn't have that in the postseason until you get to the Frozen Four. So I would like to see them do a better job with the regional games, really the build-up right from the start, have really good, intense crowds that really lend to better hockey.
Andy Powers, we've got less than a minute left here. World Juniors, USA takes the gold. Pretty exciting stuff. Fun tournament. Have to be thrilled for our BC Eagles team with seven kids, one gold.
Seven Eagles are on that team. Eagles, that birth year, the 04 birth year, 2004 birth year, that was the kids that were playing in that mostly. There were some 05s. It was great for USA Hockey. Great to win in Sweden's backyard. I thought they had a dominant tournament. They scored a ton of goals. Cutter Gauthier just got traded to the Anaheim Ducks, Anthony. So he's a BC kid. He was originally drafted by the Flyers, fifth overall, was traded today to the Anaheim Ducks, which basically means that this is his last year in college, and he'll sign after this. But it was a tremendous win for USA Hockey, great win for that group.
Andy, I'll see you Friday night, and then we have to go to Party Down Providence on Saturday.
Oh, I love Providence.
Where are we going? What was that pizza place we ate at last year? We have to go there again.
Did we go to a pizza place? I don't know.
We might have had some beers before that, so yes, we did.
That does sound like me, though.
Andy Powers.
Thanks, Andy. Take care, brother.
Diehard hockey guru, beer Boston College, Learfield. Thank you, buddy. Pro Better at Fox Sports Radio. Bill Krakenberger joins the Diehards next.
You're listening to the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Jeff Dawson, East Coast Sports Investors. It's the national championship edition of the Diehards. There's the Manning cast, and then there's the Diecast. That's what we're calling it, the Diecast. Michigan cannot come down here, get a field goal, and get the, Washington needs to stop them with 16 seconds to go. Washington just scored, up 17-10. Do not let up a field goal here. Michigan driving at the 50-yard line. Please don't make a mistake. Plus, I have Washington for my bet. Speaking of bets, Pro Better, friend of the show. He's the best in the business. The best, that, to my opinion, has ever done it. At Fox Sports Radio. I love watching him on Twitter, X, whatever the hell you're calling it. Bill Krakenberger. Crack, how are you, buddy?
Thanks for having me on, guys. You guys all right?
Hey, man, we're doing great. You enjoying this natty?
Am I enjoying the Cincinnati, you said?
The natty, the national championship.
Oh, you're natty. Okay, natty. Yeah. You guys, fancy words. I'm sorry. it's a good game. I think right now, Washington came back there. If they allow something here, well, now it's 14-3. Now it's 14-3. I think it's going to end the half at 17-10. Yep. But I think that Michigan is probably the better team. I'm sorry to go against your Washington bet there. And
That's all right.
I actually hope to cover the bet, actually, because I really don't have a stake in the game except for I have a part of a future. So I'm rooting for Michigan to win the game, but Washington to cover will be fine.
Crack,
No, it's cool. It's good to watch.
Crack, help me out. Again, this whole getting the bet in early and getting the line in. So I obviously, like Joe Public, I watched Penix Jr. and I watched them perfect last weekend get to the national championship game. And right away, the line opens up with my guy at 4.5, and I'm all over Washington. I play it. I'm thinking the line's going to go down 3.5, 3, whatever. And all of a sudden it goes up to 5.5, and it hurts me. What did I do wrong? How did I get that wrong?
You did nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, my co-host on my Fox Sunday show, Jeff Schwartz, said the same thing. When 4.5 came up, he was like, wow, this is unbelievable to grab this 4.5. And then it went to 5.5. It actually went to 6 out here at two different places out here in Vegas. But it seems like a lot of points. You're right, but yet I got to go by game time. I got to go by the money that came in. This is the steady stream of money came in for Michigan here. What the bookmakers don't want, they don't want Washington to win outright. That would actually hurt them. A lot of money line bets on Washington to win outright, but yet a lot of money on Michigan minus the spread. So the bookmakers are trying to get something in between there. But you're absolutely right, because even Jeff Porch said, eight-year veteran, NFL veteran, he said the same thing. He said he's an Oregon grad. He loves that division, loves that conference. I mean, and he thought the same thing. So he thought Washington was a good grab at 4.5. Then it went to 6 out here. He's like, what did I miss, crack? So you're on the same page.
But I did the same thing, and then I also bet a little sprinkle, as everybody likes to tell me, like you professional guys, bet a sprinkle if you like Washington better on the money line. I had plus 160, and today it's plus 180, and I'm like, I'm the worst gambler out there. I can't even bet, like, get the early line and do that right. Like, I suck.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to do. You really have to have a live odd screen when lines come up. I know last night, believe it or not, guys, it's going to be hard to believe. I made a ton of bets last night when the lines were coming up on the next week's NFL wild card playoffs. Like I said, you have to have a live screen. You have to have plenty of outs. You have to have places like, out here in Vegas, I have Caesars, I have Circa, I have South Point, I have Westgate, I have Wynn. And all these places come out and they're juggling around the lines to try to beat each other to the line. But, once in a while they'll screw up a little bit, like they screwed up with the Pittsburgh Buffalo total. I mean, he came out with a 41.5 out here, and they expected some bad weather, and that was a pretty easy grab on the under. I wish I would have grabbed more. Now, one thing about a guy like me, so I'm so much so in tune to getting the best of it. Like, I had to go under the 41. I couldn't go under the 40.5. Why? Why? I know it's going to move. I know it's going to. Now, I don't think it's going to move to 35.5 right away, but I know it's going to move. So I made a couple bets under 41 and even a 41 minus 20, but I could have bet five figures on the 40.5 and decided not to. And sure enough, today it's 35.5. So.
Crack, it's crazy. Jeff Dawson. How are you this evening?
Hey, my man. How are you?
Good. We're doing the national championship game. You talked about next week in the NFL with the wild card weekend. I don't think I'd be doing a service to everyone watching or listening, I should say, especially with you so connected in Vegas. What went on at the Circa Survivor contest the last two or three or even 4 weeks? $9.2 million up for grabs and four people left, talking about chop splits. I think of you and hedging Jeffrey Benson saying, hey, we got the windows open if you guys need credit. Tell the world exactly the last couple weeks. I know they all ended up getting the same amount even after the chop and everyone making it to the final. But give people a real feeling of exactly what was going on there.
This is the world's biggest contest that I know of. $9.2 million up for grabs, $1,000 entry, a survivor contest. Whoever survives to the end, you can't use the same team twice. Basically, in order to survive to the end, you have to hit a 20-team money line parlay without using the same team. And that's exactly what the four entries did. I was knocked out at my 10 entries week three. However, I bought back in with my buddy Steve Fezzik. He bought 5% of an entry. Then it went up to eventually 14% of an entry. I bought a piece of his entry. So we actually made some money. I didn't make a lot of money. They made a lot more than me. But I thought mathematically it was okay to get back in after Steve got in. And, we were actually filming a reality show out here, which I filmed the last scenes today for the Circa Survivor. You have four guys, regular, good, hardworking guys that, work 9-to-5 jobs. And some of them didn't even take a day off their jobs, kept on working, kept on, because they were trying to have some gatherings. And these guys just, they didn't want to change anything. It's amazing how superstitious us gamblers are. You don't want to change anything. Beyond the algorithms, the models, the analytics, there's still that superstition. Even me, Bill Krakenberger, even though I'm part of them first three things I said, I still don't like to change certain things too. Growing up in an old-fashioned, Italian mother in the Bronx, they always had these superstitions, the Italians, and I've grown up with them. I can't get rid of them myself. So I fully understand, but big shout out to all four guys that won that kind of money, over $2 million each in the end, and a shout out to Derek Stevens for having this big, giant contest with no rake for the house, and also the Circa Million, same thing, no rake for the house. But I also want to give a shout out to Westgate and Jay Cornergate, because they have the Circa Million, I'm sorry, they have their Westgate Million contest over there, same exact thing, the super contest, no juice out of the pool. Really, it's really fun out here in Vegas. You have a full year contest with giant, giant paybacks to the winner if you could survive.
Hey, man, we got about 2 minutes left here. On your Twitter, on your ex social media platform, at Bill Crackman, you tweeted out or X'd out, where the heck, you have to win your money twice. What does that mean?
You know, I probably should have explained that better. Thank you, because I've been asked that on a few different shows since then. So I have to win. I have to overcome 52.38%. I have to win 55% of the money, which 55% of the time, which is a good percentage for me, 55, 56. Sometimes I run a little bit better than that in college basketball. College football this year, fantastic. But now I have to get paid from the bookmakers and not get thrown out. Right now I'm in a situation with a big sports book here in town, yep, where I made a correlated bet for, and I won a lousy $1,300. Not that it's a little money, $1,300. And they're saying, I made that bet and I beat them to a line on a correlation that was out there. I still feel it's not my fault. I don't have to police the business. You should hire someone competent enough to know where the lines are going to go and to know where the lines are, or to take bets from someone sharp like me and learn where your line's going to go. I'm going to beat the closing line value. So I have to actually get paid and not get thrown out. And, you know, it's the same thing if you're betting with local guys. You have to hope you pay and hope you don't get thrown out, because hope you get paid, because bookmakers do not like to pay. That's a fact. They hate winners. For the most part, most of the bookmakers are looking for excuses to throw you out. You're betting with a bot. You're betting with a team. The line's moving. You're betting out of state. I mean, there's such BS all over the place. So you have to win your money two times. Like I said, sometimes three times. You have to hope you get paid and don't get robbed.
Hey, man, enjoy the rest of the national championship tonight. We appreciate it. We know how busy you are. Thank you so much for joining us. We love having you on, and we'll talk to you later on down the line, man.
Anytime, guys. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Billy.
Best in the business, professional better at Fox Sports Radio, at Bill Crackman on X, Bill Krakenberger. He's the best.
He is the best.
Flat out the best. Figure the best, Bernie Fratto, Fox Sports Radio. Another best is coming next.
You're listening to The Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Dawson, East Coast Sports Investors. Are you my friend tonight?
I'm always your friend, but yeah, it seems like, as you said, it was nice to see you. It hasn't been that long.
I've been
a longer friend today, being in the office.
You were hanging out at the world headquarters of Food Truck Festivals America. Did you play Ms. Pac-Man?
I did not, but you know the funny thing
is
I was the only one there. You know which one I stopped and did a
Tron.
Double take? Frogger. I had the Seinfeld flashback.
Oh, my go-to. Frogger's the best.
I haven't played that in forever.
And then I had to get Centipede the other day because I grew up playing these video games. I mean, I'm like a goof. I'm just buying these arcade games right now in my office, and I have like 10 of them in there. They're the best.
Yeah.
Mateo in the live studio audience. What's going on, buddy?
What's up?
How's your bet going?
Getting there.
You getting there? All right, cool. It's the Manning cast does their thing. It's the die cast tonight. We're talking about the national championship game at halftime. Michigan Wolverines up 17-10 over Washington. They won the coin toss, meaning the Huskies deferred. They get the ball in the second half, and not for nothing, Jeff, but Michigan kept them in this game, not one series, not two series, but three series.
17-3, a chance really to put a chokehold on this, yep, in a statement, allowed them to come back 17-10. They get the ball back. I said to you before we went live, wouldn't be shocked to see Washington come down 17-17 and make this a real game, but we'll see.
Let's go to the Progressive Insurance guest line and join our pal from Fox Sports Radio, Bernie Fratto. Bernie, welcome back to the Diehards. What's up, brother?
Hey, happy belated New Year, guys. Is it too late to say Happy New Year?
It's January 8th, which is Elvis's birthday, so I think we're okay.
Yeah, well, you know, I got a few holes in my game. You get to about April 3rd if I'm still saying it, hit me over the head.
Hey, you've been doing this thing a long time. I've been doing this a long time. You're a professional. I'm just an idiot on the radio. But I've covered a lot of stuff. I've never been in a national championship game. I've actually never been to a big college football game. I've been to Army-Navy, but to my opinion, doesn't get bigger than that. So right. I take that back. But I've never been to, like, Michigan, Ohio State, never been to, like, you know, a big-time college football game like that. Bucket list, in my opinion, I want to go to a national championship game. Is there a bucket list thing for you? Have you been to a Natty?
Oh, absolutely. And yeah. I covered Super Bowl 40 in Michigan in Ford Field between Seattle and Pittsburgh, and fortunately NBA Finals, World Series. Kind of been there, done that. It's always a different dynamic. The truth of the matter is once you get it off your bucket list, you're actually more enjoyable to see them on TV. You get the replays,
yep.
You know, you get all the things that go along with it. As far as a bucket list thing, you know, you caught me with my pants down. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I the one actually, believe it or not,
how about like a Kentucky Derby?
I've never been to a game at Lambeau Field, so that would be a bucket list thing.
All right.
I've been there and driven by it, but I've never been to a game there, so yeah, I would have to look down and pretend Dick Schaaf and the Ice Bulls there from 1967. So.
All right, Bernie, do me a favor. We're a couple of dudes here, like, and we're good dudes. Pull up your pants. Will you do that for me? Because I don't want your pants down.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're good.
Hey,
that's what I get for buying those Vanza belts on sale, you know.
You've watched this Michael Penix Jr. dude for a while now, like everybody else. I mean, with the exception of these knuckleheads that saw him last week, and now all of a sudden he's the Antichrist, which is amazing to me because he's been doing this all season, even last season. He's that good. Take the injuries out of it. He's really good. What kind of NFL QB do you think he's going to be? And like, if you had to comp him, that typical sports radio question, who's the NFL comp to Michael Penix Jr.?
Well, I wouldn't compare him to anybody left-handed because he throws such a pure ball that,
right,
you know, other left-handed quarterbacks that have got, you know, I wouldn't compare him to Tua, and I certainly wouldn't compare him to Tebow. I compare him to a right-handed Warren Moon because I saw Warren Moon destroy Michigan in the 1978 Rose Bowl. The reason I say that, he's not a running quarterback per se. People plays alive with his feet, but he maneuvers extremely well with the pocket, gets the ball out quick, and other than the throw he missed tonight for years, his pinpoint passing on deep balls is spectacular. So I really, believe it or not, compare him to a Warren Moon who also went to Washington.
Bernie, it's Jeff Dawson. Good evening.
Hey, bud. Good evening.
30 minutes left, potentially, for Mr. Harbaugh and his Michigan career.
Happy to win his bets.
Yes, lot of speculation. you know, I have heard the charges we know about Mr. Spanos and writing checks. There was a late rumor the last day or two. Your home right now, Vegas, and Mr. Davis, hot and heavy, potentially, for Mr. Harbaugh. The stage is yours. Tell us what you think will happen to Mr. Team Khaki.
I've said, and I've stuck to this all year, 70% to 75% Jim Harbaugh leaves for the NFL. I don't think there's any bearing on what happens tonight. A lot of people say, well, if he wins, he'll go for sure. If he loses, I don't know. There's no bearing on that. What will decide this is the situation that he ends up in, the relationship with the owner, the amount of control and autonomy he gets, and the price tag he's going to command. The last time I was on with you guys, Jim Harbaugh had an extension on his desk, 5 years, $55 million, didn't sign it, had a no NFL clause. In the last 2 weeks, that's been up to 10 years, $125 million. The only non-NFL clause is for the first season only. He still hasn't signed it. We all know why. Somebody saw on Twitter a week ago, oh, he hired Don Yee, the power agent. He actually hired Don Yee a couple months ago. Don Yee represents Tom Brady. Don Yee also represents Sean Payton and negotiated his deal with Denver last year.
Right.
So you start to look at the possibilities because the NFL is interested in Harbaugh, and he's interested. The stars are aligning this time. 2 years ago, Harbaugh was interested. Minnesota wasn't. Last year, Denver was interested. Harbaugh wasn't. So they're aligned. He could scratch off the Chicago Bears, even if they fired Eberflus, because their president is Kevin Warren, who was the Big Ten commissioner. They don't get along so well. Carolina's already said they're not interested. Harbaugh, I talked to a gentleman 8 days ago who talked to Harbaugh the day before. He's got a man crush on Justin Herbert. But the Spanos family is a little weird. They don't typically pay coaches, and it's hard for me to believe they'll give them the autonomy. The Raiders right now look like the possible leader in the clubhouse. Here's why. You guys know they've been clamoring, the locker rooms have been clamoring for Antonio Pierce to get the job. Now Devontae Adams went public, Max Crosby went public, but Mark Davis has gone radio silent. Well, I found out Thursday he's going to put a full court press on Jim Harbaugh. He wants Jim Harbaugh. He tried to hire him in 2015, couldn't do it. The Harbaugh the man and his dad go back, Al Davis, 30 years. Mark Davis and Harbaugh are friends. And so that, to me, is a real possibility. How much will he pay him? How much will Mark Davis pay him? I'm told Harbaugh could command as much as $15 million a year. And will he give him full control like he gave Gruden? I think he would. We have to wait and see. But that right now is the latest.
You brought up a name. Me and Pepe have been talking about this kind of tongue-in-cheek and laughing about it. Chucky, Mr. Gruden, is there any chance, we're talking maybe 7, 8, 9 jobs opening, is there any chance he could resurface?
I think he could, not in the next couple of years. I don't think you'll ever see him as a head coach in the NFL again. You might see him as like a running back coach at East Tennessee State or something. It's just not going to happen. But Mark Davis, I think, would hire him as a consultant. He's kind of lurking around a little bit, but I don't think it's a head coach in the NFL anytime soon, though. No.
Hey, Bernie, obviously the big news here in New England is Bill Belichick. We got about a minute left here. Curious to get your thoughts, being a host of the national sports talk radio show and Fox Sports and the power of that brand. What's the feel around the country? What are the fans thinking? What are sports fans thinking? Obviously, everybody hated the Patriots and hated, Bill Belichick and what they've done and the success they've had. But what is the overall feeling right now that you're getting on your radio show regarding Bill Belichick?
Well, I think, first of all, no decision's going to be made on him till maybe later this week at the earliest. I am told that he wants to stay.
Yep.
And I'm told he's even open to relinquishing some of his personnel duties. They got to be able to sell that press conference. I'm not sure what Robert Kraft really wants to do. They got to really sit down and talk about this. I also think you could have Mike Vrabel waiting in the wings. But the interesting thing, guys, is I'm hearing there's more of a Belichick market than people realize. That the Spanoses would be very interested in him. That the Washington Commanders would be very interested in him. They wasted no time in firing Ron Rivera when we woke up this morning. That's his birthday present. Today's Ron Rivera's birthday, and he got fired. And I'll tell you another vicious rumor I heard. That if Dallas gets beat in their playoff game against Green Bay next Saturday, Jerry Jones could be talked into interviewing Bill Belichick or talking to him because
I'm not buying that.
And you may be right. It's not that doesn't mean they're going to hire him, but here's what I was told by a mole. This is a conversation. Dallas believes they're Super Bowl ready. I don't. Not as long as they got a quarterback named Dak Prescott who's a turnover machine in big games. But you got Barney Rubble on the sideline.
15 seconds here.
Yeah, he's a good regular season coach, but he can't close the deal. So Belichick will be coaching somewhere next year, I believe.
Bernie, I love listening to you on Fox Sports Radio. How do people find you?
At Bernie Fratto on Twitter, Fox Sports Radio, 11 o'clock Friday night, 11 o'clock Saturday night. Good to be with you guys.
Thank you,
Bernie. Have a great night.
Great Bernie Fratto, Fox Sports Radio. He's the best.
He is the best.
You're listening to The Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Final segment of The Diehards, National Championship Night. Washington gets the ball in the second half down 17-10. They defer the coin toss. Big, big, big possession. After they stop Michigan three times, Michigan go up huge. Huge possession. What does Penix Jr. do? Spits the bit and throws an interception. Mercy. Mercy, Jeff.
Mercy, mercy, mercy. Mercy.
Now, Michigan obviously needs to score still. They're in field goal range. They just had a offensive movement, 5 yards, first and 15, but they're just running the ball right down their throat. I mean,
Well, if they hold them to a field goal, don't forget this field goal kicker cost them 8 points.
He stinks.
Two missed field goals, missed extra point against Bama. He had a week to think about it. I know Harbaugh and Michigan right now not thinking field goals. They want sevens. Big stop here. But again, as you and I have been doing all night in our own version of the diecast, plenty of time left.
Now, I have Washington. It's well documented. I know it's too late now. I can't really buy a bet, flip a bet, sell a bet. But I want to tell you about our friends at WageWire.
Okay.
Because in a situation where, like, you place a bet, you can do a lot of things with it, Jeff, nowadays. It's 2024, right?
Yes, and they just partnered with RT Sports, so this is amazing.
We love that, and we love RT Sports. WageWire buys bets, flip bets, and sells bets. That's right. No more bad beats with WagerWire app. You go on your phone, your iPhone, your Android, whatever you have, and you download the WagerWire app. That's how simple it is, Jeff. And then what you do is or if you're like me, you like to go on the computer, because that's what I do. I go to WagerWire.com, and then I figure out whether or not I'm going to buy it, sell it, flip it. That's what I do. Find the best deals on best bets today. Capture value by buying low or sell your action for a profit, even if the team goes on to lose. That's pretty cool, Jeff.
Well, and a perfect spot here. Again, Michigan up 17-3, $100 bet. You would have seen the actual value there.
You can also calculate your bet's value by going on the WagerWire app or online at WagerWire.com. That's WagerWire.com. WagerWire's marketplace and tools let you play with confidence, and that's just the way you want to play in today's crazy gambling world. So take control of your action and treat your bets like assets. Get the WagerWire app today or visit them online at WagerWire.com. WagerWire.com. Tell them the diehard sent you. Charles Carter, Charles in Charge, running Rock and Roll Control in Houston where the Natty's happening. Please send us that air check because we're doing this live on the radio because we want to send that to the client because we felt we just gave a good service to that client because we love them.
They're the best. Travis and Zach will be on my channel at EC Sports Invest tomorrow morning. All right,
so the diecast, where are we at right now?
Lining up for a 38-yarder. This is probably a 50-50 chance. Snap is good. The kick is up, and it is good.
Which is, if you look at it, devastating for Washington Huskies backers, devastating for the Washington Huskies. But at the end of the day, you need that possession to start the second half. You give them the ball. Then you give up a big run to get right down, right in the red zone, and you stop them. So that's kind of a win, is it not?
Absolutely. And grabbing 5, 6, 4.5, whatever the number is, as we like to say in our lanes, the back door is wide open right now.
I have 4.5.
There you go. So if they came down, scored a touchdown, 2017 final, in my math, 2017 is 3, you have 4.5, you're a winner.
All right, let's take a look at these NFL playoff games. I mean, this is a fun matchup. Looking at these matchups in the fun weekend, I should say. Browns minus 2.5 at Houston, over under is 44, Jeff. That first game, that's a tough one to pick.
A couple weeks ago, you probably would have had Houston probably 4 or 5 point favorites. In comes Joe Flacco, a meaningless week. They all rested. Kind of surprised to see Cleveland as a favorite. They opened up 1, 1.5, now 2.5. Anyone watching, listening this evening, I would definitely be leaning Browns and money line because I think this will get to 3.
All right, you keep saying watching.
I know, I'm thinking of my show, I apologize.
No, it's all right, I'm just curious, should we put cameras up? Do you want cameras so people can see your good-looking mug?
I think we might be working on something like that.
Because I'd put cameras up. I'm going to put cameras up in the other studio building. I'll put cameras up here because I want people to see Mateo, like what he does like during the show. He does push-ups, sit-ups, crunches. Like he gets ready. He's gambling. He's putting bets in. He eats. He drinks. Like Mateo's fun to watch. So maybe that's the reason we should put the cameras in.
Is it Doritos, crunches, Nestle crunches, or actually physical crunches?
No, he eats a lot. He likes to eat. Like, so do I, though. And then maybe they can watch us eat all the food from, like, Dom Sausages and the Sausage Guy and all the food we cook. Maybe that'd be a fun bit.
There you go.
They can just watch us get fat.
There you go.
Live on the cameras. All right. Another game, which is, it seems like an odd line to me. And I know Buffalo's better, and the game's at Buffalo, and the total is 37.5. Steelers plus 10. Seems like a lot of points for a Mike Tomlin playoff team
Playoffs.
And I know they haven't been the Steelers of old, and I know the Buffalo Bills have not, although they literally blindsided the Miami Dolphins and won their fourth straight AFC title, which is mind-boggling itself. 10 seems high, Jeff.
It's a number set because they're begging for Steeler money. They have no way of getting it. If they open up Buffalo at 7, they would
buy
have
it down to 6.5.
And they would have got all that Buffalo money. And as crack came on and said, bad weather, this is opened at 11 down to 10, maybe 9.5 in a few spots, under over 37.5.
Crack he said 35.
35. Yeah. Bad weather there. Bills win. I'm not a teaser guy. I'm really not a big parlay guy, but I would find a way just to get Buffalo to win and move on.
You don't feel like that line's overinflated, though? I mean, Steelers in the playoffs, they still won a lot of games, and I know they had QB questions, and you still have Mike Tomlin, very well-coached team, disciplined team. Buffalo hasn't played great. They come off a big win. Are they going to ride that, or are they going to be Buffalo what we've seen in the last 5 weeks?
And I think this is the big thing. No TJ Watt. I think Watt's going to be out.
Tore like an ACL.
Yeah. So he's going to take a week or two. So there's a big difference, too. And don't forget, too, Josh is great from 20 to 20. I mean, what's he going to do in the red zone? You know, 2-3 turnovers, and it's anyone's ballgame.
Lions hosting the Rams. This is an intriguing game. Total is 51.5. The public is going to love the over in this game. Rams plus 3, so Lions minus 3. This has total written all over it, does it not?
Yeah, this is your popcorn game where you just, if you don't have a side.
It's a 2010 game.
You take the over, but I think the Rams in the NFC is the danger team as the surprise. I just think they have a great coach. They have a great offense. They have a good, steady running back. They got a rookie of the year with Puka, a healthy Cooper Kupp, and their defense with Donald. I think this could be Stafford's revenge game. Don't forget coming back to Detroit. I'm going to take the Rams plus 3.5, and I'm going to sprinkle a little pizza and beer money on them to win outright.
All right, I kind of like the Rams, and I like what they've done. I've never been a big fan of the Lions. Obviously, I know they've had success lately. I know people are all on that. It's trendy and all that good stuff. And people say that the Lions gave that game to the Cowboys. Whether or not you believe that, with the 2-3 times going for the 2-point conversion, blah, blah, blah. Cowboys beat them. I don't think the Rams are that good. I kind of like your Rams, but I don't love the game. So I would probably look at that total. My initial gut is play the over, Rams-Lions. So the play is the under.
Right? There you go.
Hey, what's going on with the diecast?
First and 10, a little pressure, a little screen pass, and a nice ball. Oh, still running, first down over the 50. Probably first down Washington on the Michigan 49, about 10 minutes, 45 seconds up, 20 to 10. So at least a 3 from Washington. They're obviously hoping for 7, but we got a ball game.
All right, Charles Carter in Rock and Roll Control in Houston. I know you put these shows up on sportsmapradio.com, so if you can listen, they call them podcasts. It's a radio show, but they call them podcasts. I don't know why that is. But anyway, just don't put this show up because we're doing something illegal. We're like doing play-by-play, which I know is illegal. Like the FCC used to like fine people like $10,000 for doing it. You can't, shut up. Come on, give me a break. You're going to fine somebody for saying the S-word or something else, like Pat McAfee. You're not going to fine the diehards because we're awesome.
The diecast tonight?
The diecast. So what's going on right now? So we're still in the game. We're down 10. If you have Washington, is what I'm saying. Washington is driving, and I believe they're better than people think on the with this game. Terrible interception there that cost them 3. Couple big runs, 41-yard touchdown, 51-yard touchdown, 47-yard touchdown, first 2 touchdowns. Washington's better than this. Penix has thrown some balls out of the... But if Penix is on, I believe they're better than this.
Yeah, he hasn't got into rhythm.
No.
And again, last week against Texas, he was in rhythm, as you said, off the air. A totally different defense, so we'll see.
All right, we're wrapping things up here. We're not going to get to the rest of this game,
nope.
Jeff. We'll do
That's
that
okay.
Another time. But Charles Carter running Rock and Roll Control in Houston. Keep up the good job, buddy. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jeff.
Adios. Aloha.
Enjoy the natty, guys.